This is the Fabric Podcast and the start of our conversation, Enough. We're glad you're a part of it. In this episode, you'll hear Greg Meyer dive right into the thorny realities of enough as we keep trying to be enough, to have enough, to do enough. Is it ever enough? Here's Greg.
Over the years, a couple of words have started bothering me. Words that I and everybody else use all the time, but they just don't sit well with me. One of them is perfect. Nothing is perfect. The Japanese, with their idea of wabi-sabi, with its transience, incompleteness, and imperfection, is a good antidote. Seeking perfection, I think, destroys more things than it saves. Another that some people substitute for perfect is better. I am not a fan of better either. You've probably heard me rant about this before. It's not like I'm in favor of worse, of course. It's just that growth happens in all sorts of ways, and it isn't always a straight line of better and more better. I'm sorry, but I can't be and do better every day. I say, beware the tyranny of better. One more, and this is the one that we're going to be spending a bunch of weeks talking about, is enough. Enough drives me crazy. It isn't actually the word, although I find when I look at it too long, it starts looking like enoog, but that's a different issue. Anyway, what drives me crazy is the notion of it. Having enough, doing enough, knowing enough, being enough. I've had enough with enough. What is enough? I mean, seriously, what is enough? Is it what you want, what you need? Is it what you have? Is it something everyone should have, or something no one can ever have? Do you have enough? Enough money, stuff, comfort, happiness, success, time, certainty? I asked my friend Reeve Hutchinson, who is part of the bigger fabric we're all part of, about this enough business. Hey, Reeve, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Greg. It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
So I asked you what enough was, and true to form, instead of giving me an answer, you had to dish me something else.
Hey, I thought it'd be good enough.
Yeah, good enough. Thank you. Thank you. So what was it? What, tell the folks what you told me.
Yeah, well, you know, the question of enough is a bit of a riddle in itself. But I go to this garage, B&A Auto. It used to be Butch and Al. I got this little two-bay garage, and that's where I had my car repaired. But Al, you always got something extra from Al there besides just getting your car repaired. He gave you a little philosophy. He gave you stock market tips. I mean, Al was a pretty neat guy. And in one little corner of this garage, on the counter, sitting next to 40 years of grime and papers and junk, there's this wonderfully framed little piece of, looks like a picture, but it's instead, it's all printing on it, and it has a riddle. Now, the first time I saw this, I read it, I had no clue as to what the answer was. I never did figure it out. But it, when I tell you what the riddle is, you'll understand why it's so important and how it fits into enough. So shall I just go ahead and
Yeah, do it. Go for it.
Okay. What does man love more than life? What does man fear more than death or mortal strife? What the poor have, the rich require, and what contented men desire. What the miser spends and the spendthrift saves, and all men carry to their graves. What is that one thing that answers all those questions?
I give up. What is it?
I'm not going to tell you. No. It's not that easy. I mean, I had to go through a lot. And then finally I had to ask, and Al explained it to me. Now, this is riddles probably out there in the internet. And I want all your followers to promise that they're not going to go on the internet, because I know they're all clever people, They should not go on the internet and try and solve this. If you truly, and all kidding aside, if you truly think about each line of that riddle and try and find the answer, you probably have enough.
Okay, so give us that riddle one more time. Well, by the way, I'll pop this in the podcast description. It'll be on our episode page too, so you can find it written. But go ahead, reread it one more time.
What does man love more than life? Fear more than death or mortal strife? What the poor have and the rich require, and what contented men desire? What the miser spends and the spendthrift saves, and all men carry to their graves?
We'll noodle on that, because I do think it is a bit of a key to what we're talking about with enough. Thanks, Reeve.
Well, you're welcome. It's always a pleasure. Maybe someday we'll be able to see each other in person again.
That'd be kind of fun. Okay. Take care. Whether you figured out the answer to Reeve's riddle or not, you probably did get a sense of the two sides of the coin that enough is made from. The positive side, that sense of having and being enough, just as you are, content and satisfied. And the negative side, the insatiable appetite, the sense that there is no such thing as enough, there is only more. We all know both sides far too well. With Fabric, we try to practice the better question, knowing that the wrong question, no matter how good of an answer we come up with for it, is always going to be unhelpful because, well, it was the wrong question. Enough feels like a wrong question, and I think it is. We'll talk more about that, but enough can't be dismissed so easily because it isn't as simple as just saying it doesn't matter how much someone has or doesn't have. So what is enough in your life? If you can pause this podcast right now, I invite you to do so and make a list of the words that describe your feelings and understandings of enough. What are the synonyms and antonyms for enough, and what related words come to your mind? If you can't make this list right now, take some time later to make it. If you're walking or running or driving and can't write, fine. Just hit the pause button, take a minute, and think about all the enough-related words in your head. Okay? Pause now. Make your list. Welcome back. Now, you didn't cheat and not pause, did you? Just checking. I'm sure you didn't. So here are some of my words related to enough. Limits, restrictions, boundaries. Enough makes me acknowledge those. Focus. Yeah, that one surprised me at first, but wanting enough of something makes me focus on what I want, not everything. Needs, wants, obvious, enough. I'll use that word again. Content and contentment, satisfied, sufficient, unsatisfied, and insatiable. Wanting, lacking, unable, insufficient. Abundance and scarcity. Enough really seems to be about those two to me. Appreciation, gratitude. Yeah, they seem to have something powerful to do with my sense of enough or not enough. And that leads to generous and generosity. Can I have them without enough, or can I have enough without them? Then there are all the things that I can have or not have enough of. I named a bunch above, but here are some more. Toys, time, money, fame, friends, experiences. Bandwidth, followers, hobbies, accomplishments, education, insurance, savings. Health, good looks, clothes, shoes. Someone sent that one to me in an email. Security, self-assurance, and most of all, coffee. The list can go on, and I'm sure yours does, but still, what is enough? It isn't those things I mentioned. It's something complicated about my relationship to them. You know one thing I think enough is? I think it's a trap. It's a trap because you can never have enough. Your appetite, it's like a bucket with a slow leak. You can fill it up and think you've got all you'll ever need, and then the next day, you want more. I remember learning the pain of that aspect of enough, not the answer to it, just the pain of it, when I was a kid and there was some toy, and honestly, I can't even remember what it was anymore, which must say something about all this, and I had to have it. I shamelessly begged for it for Christmas because it was the secret to my future happiness. I was sure of it. And I got it. My parents gave me the key to my bliss, and it was wonderful for a while. I think I remember continuing to like it, but that's all pretty foggy. What I remember distinctly is a feeling that what I thought was enough wasn't. After a couple of days, I wasn't a boy with all his dreams fulfilled like I thought I would be. I was just a boy with one more thing. It was a sad and lonely feeling. There's a book in the Old Testament portion of the Bible, and that means the part of the Bible that was before the life of Jesus. And it's called Proverbs, and that's all it is. It's thousands of sayings, aphorisms, tidbits of wisdom, mostly two lines long, that speak to life. Proverbs 27:20 says this, which feels a lot like a good commentary on enough. Death and destruction never have enough, and neither does the human eye. Death and destruction never have enough, and neither does the human eye. Ow, that hits home. In Hebrew, death and destruction aren't just words, they're places. Sheol and Abaddon, not good places. And they always have room for more, if you want to go there. And by the way, guess what else is like that? Your eye, your appetite, your desire for all you see. But do you really want to go there? Whole generations learned that the only thing more destructive than your appetite for enough is enough's insatiable appetite for you. They learned it the hard way, and they were trying to save future generations a lot of pain. And that includes you and me. Folks, this enough stuff, this isn't a moral ought to or your next self-improvement kick. This isn't the way you earn the love of God or of other people. This is a battle for your life, because your inability to understand what enough is for you will push you to do and to be and to have things that don't matter. And it is going to do it at the expense of things that do. Let me say that one more time. Your inability to understand what enough is for you will push you to do and to be and to have things that don't matter, and it will do it at the expense of things that do. It not only messes up our priorities that impact our families and our personal sense of meaning and fulfillment, that same uncontrolled desire for enough is at the root of the crises we've ended up in our environment, how certain races are oppressed, the disparities that we've created and let grow between the rich and the poor in a world that should have enough for everyone. It's hidden in the background of much of the violence that we inflict upon one another. We need a better way, a better question, a better dream. That hole you struggle with to fill, chasing enough will never fill it. Along with a never-ending quest for enough, we also know when we have had enough. Contentment is perceiving what you have as enough. Contentment feels different than striving for enough. It moves us to a settled place rather than an anxious one. It lets us be in the present rather than dwelling on what is not here yet. It allows us to appreciate what we have instead of feeling the lack of what we don't. Rather than pushing us to do, be, and have things that don't matter, it gives us space to consider what does matter. Paul was a character in the church in the generation after Jesus who appears a little larger than life, but who experienced more than his share of hardship. Jailings, beatings, shipwrecks, opposition. Reflecting on all this, he wrote, "I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of growing hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through the one who strengthens me." The secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. It sounds like Paul was discovering what enough was for him. It was something to do with where he drew his strength, somewhere that wasn't changed by how much or little he had. He's clearly referring to God as a source of that strength, but that wasn't a vending machine god that he was talking about who took care of all of his problems, his deficits and dead ends. It couldn't have been because that wasn't his experience. He was talking about a god who wove him into something bigger than those problems and those dead ends and those deficits so that despite any and all circumstances, he had enough. Contentment is perceiving what you have as enough. It can also allow you to see when what you have is more than enough, and perhaps what to do with your more than enough. Peyton Meyer, full disclosure, my daughter-in-law, shared some of her ponderings of enough that quickly move in that direction.
Being in my mid-20s, a new professional, and newly married, I consider the term enough and how it applies and perhaps controls my life. From the menial, do I have enough gas to get home, enough food to make dinner, or do I need to go to the store? To the material, financial sides of enough, I worry about that too, like most people. Do I have enough saved for a house, to have kids, retirement, etc.? Am I doing enough to reach those goals that I've artificially set? But while I occasionally worry about finances, it is not a common source of anxiety, as my family is financially stable and by most standards, affluent. It is more of an excitement, hoping and planning for a future that my husband and I want to make. However, the question of material enough easily switches to the next enough question. Are we doing enough for the community? Because we are financially stable, how can we share that sense of stability with the community? How much giving is enough?
Thank you, Peyton. Those are good questions. I hope we all wrestle with what enough is for us so that we can get at those questions. How do you know when you have more than enough? And how do you decide when you've done enough, given enough of your more than enough? Funny, but even on the flip side of enough, where we know we have a surplus, we experience these same feelings of scarcity and uncertainty. But many people can't legitimately say, like Paul, that they know what it is to be hungry or in need, at least materially. Peyton was honest about that. I'd have to say that's true for me too. Hardships aren't a contest, though, to see whose are the greatest. But when we start talking about not having enough, there are many who really just don't have it. Enough sounds pretty ridiculous coming from a person who has a 6-bedroom house and is sure that they need an 8-bedroom one. But for the family without a house, without enough food, or to whole groups of people without enough justice, those with a gender identity and without acceptance, the dying person without enough days left. Enough is not a ridiculous or an extravagant concept for those people. So this is the messy, sticky part of this enough conversation. There are those who truly do not have enough. I mean, if you want to think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's the basics: food, water, shelter, rest, as well as safety and security and some personal emotional needs that affect our well-being. These aren't luxuries. Every human being deserves them, particularly in a world that has the capacity to provide them for everyone. The truth is that there are people who don't have enough to sustain life. A lot of people. And that's wrong. Yet Paul, in his contentment in any and all circumstances, challenges us with a question that we also know deep down inside of us. It's this: is it possible, even in the worst and the most unjust, the most tragic situation, that one can find contentment, perceive oneself as being and having enough? After all, it is true there is one universal, not enough experience we all share. That is the end of life, the point in which nothing is left. I've been there with quite a few people, and many of them, most of them I'd say, left life with their empty hands, yet seemed to have the peace of enough within them. I want to say that this kind of contentment, unattachment, the Buddhist might call it, trusting in God, the Jew or Christian might call it, resignation, the realist might call it, I want to say that peace, that contentment, whatever you want to call it, that sense of enoughment is real. But in calling it real, I recognize the danger there. Such thinking has allowed some to let others live in suffering because they tell themselves that contentment cannot rely on the end of that suffering. It has allowed some to let others continue in poverty because, after all, there's a lot more to enough than money. And didn't Jesus say we would have the poor with us always? I mean, Not helping others in need because life isn't about enough isn't just. It isn't what God envisions, and by that I mean it isn't an authentic way of weaving the three strands of our true selves and of others and the purpose of all things. It is a way of leaving others out in the cold, cut off from the world. We can also miss the mark of enough and contentment in the other direction. On the path of curbing too great of a desire for the world, we end up chastising ourselves for liking it at all, and we miss the gift that it is for us. Ever do that to yourself? In your struggle with your desire for enough, you don't learn what enough is, you just beat yourself up for it? Too many people have played the comparison game. They've been reminded too often that there's always someone less fortunate than you are, and they can no longer enjoy anything they have or that the world offers, at least not without feeling guilty. That's just another way that enough chews us up and spits us out. In the creation stories that we talked about a lot in February during Our Place, it is pretty clear that God, the origin and purpose of all things, is presented as believing that all things are good, very good. You don't have taste buds to be tantalized and tempted to like the taste of food, eyes that can perceive beauty and wonder in order to be tempted to love it and want to see it again, ears that can hear beautiful music and want to hear it again. No, those aren't temptations, those are gifts. We have an appetite for them because the world is here for many reasons, and enjoying the wonders of it is certainly one of them. Jeanette Mayo, one of our fabric folks, has often shown me how to savor and absorb the precious world around me. Not surprisingly, she has thoughts about this paradoxical struggle of how contentment streams from drinking deeply what we love while simultaneously asking us to be enough without it at all.
I have a quote by Toni Morrison on my fridge that I've been wrestling with for quite a long time. It goes like this. At some point in life, the world's beauty becomes enough. You don't need to photograph, paint, or even remember it. It is enough. I've been wrestling with this for so long. I'm puzzled. This is something I aspire to, and yet I don't know how. As a nature photographer, of course I need to photograph the beauty that I see because I want to share that beauty and I want to inspire other people to love our planet and be reminded that we are so much more than our mundane lives and our duties and our musts and have-tos and looking up to the beauty that surrounds us, whether it's an extraordinary landscape or just something ordinary that is seen in a new way. I mean, that is really, really important to me. So this is puzzling to me. You know, one of the reasons that I do try to capture the moments of beauty that I see is so that I can remember them and relive them in efforts to comfort myself and revisit my excitement, peak experiences that I may only experience one time. And of course I want to remember them. And without photographs, without images, it gets harder over time, which is obviously the point. That holding on, that grasping, perhaps that is the problem. You know, these moments, they are what they are in the moment and they pass. And my efforts to revisit or recreate fall more in the category of not enough and scarcity, perhaps. But it is what it is, and I am who I am. And so they're in the struggle.
Thank you, Jeanette. We're all glad that you not only see all the beauty and wonder in the world around you, but that you document it and share it with us. Thank you. Not having, depriving ourselves to prove that we can be enough even without what we want or even what we need, that isn't necessarily more virtuous than having. There must be a better way to work out our relationship with this enough stuff. So, what does enough look like in your life? On the one side of enough, what are instances of experiencing the settled, the contented side of knowing that you have right now exactly what you want and need? And on the other side, what are examples of experiencing the anxious, the grasping, the wanting of what you don't have that blinds you to what you do have? And how do each of those impact your life? How do they influence your choices, the way you live, spend your time, love yourself and the people in the world around you? Chances are that I am kicking up more dust than I am settling for you, and I hope that's okay. Enough has been sitting around coating the furniture of our lives far too long, and it's time to stir it up. Springtime is a good time for this kind of house cleaning. So, we're on a journey together these weeks, and let's take one step at a time. Stick with this simple question this week. What is enough? What does it look like? How do you experience it in your life? As you do, you will start discovering, as I have, that your inability to understand what enough is for you, it's pushing you to do and to be and to have things that don't matter, and it's doing it at the expense of things that do matter. I don't think you want that. And you will see that this isn't just a technical problem to work out. It gets at what's in your heart, and that changes everything. You will never weave life with your true self, with others, and with God while you're chasing enough. So, that takes us back to Reeves' riddle. Solve it yet? Let me repeat it for you one more time. What does one love more than life, fear more than death or mortal strife? What do the poor have, the rich require, and all contented souls desire? What does the miser spend and the spendthrift save, and all people carry to the grave? Want to know the answer? I'm not telling. And like Reeve said, don't you dare look it up on the inner tubes. Sit with it. And this question, what is enough? Next week, Grace Pomeroy will be joining me as we dig into one of the sticky places enough creates in our lives. Money. Money, wealth, possessions. Yeah, you know those. And we'll take the question of what is enough to the next level.
For this conversation to have all the richness it could, share this podcast with a friend and find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com. We always love hearing from you through our contact page or on social media. And if you want to share those more personal thoughts about enough and what it is in your life, email those directly to Greg at enough@fabricmpls.com. It's worth this quick reminder that who you are is enough. We may not often feel it, but that's part of the reason we do this together. Life woven deeply.